But AC Bhakta Vedanta Samsa Prabhupada Ki Jai Namachar Hari Das Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shasti Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gaura Gaura Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gavardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadvip Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vinikajai Go Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswata Deva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 1, Verse 8. Shri Raja Vacha Brahmanyanam Vadanyanam Nityam Arid Opat Sevinam Viprasapa Katam Abud Vrishni Nam Krishna Chaitasam. The king said, Brahmanyanam, of them who were respectful to the Brahmanas, Vadanyanam, charitable, Nityam, always, Vrida Upasevanam, engaged in serving elders, Viprasapa, the Brahmana's curse, Katam, how, Abhut, did it come about, Rishninam, of the Rishnis, Krishna Chaitasam, whose minds were totally absorbed in thoughts of Lord Krishna. Translation, King Parikshit inquired, how could the Brahmanas curse the Vrishnis who were always respectful to the Brahmanas, charitable and inclined to serve senior and exalted personalities, and whose minds were always fully absorbed in thoughts of Lord Krishna. Her part, Brahmanas generally become angry at persons who disrespect the Brahminical class, who are uncharitable and who decline to serve senior, respectable personalities. The Vrishnis, however, were not like that, and thus they were described here by King Parikshit as Brahmanyanam, or sincere followers of Brahminical culture. Further, even if the Brahmanas became angry, why would they curse members of Krishna's own family? Since the Brahmanas were well learned, they must have known that it's offensive to oppose personal associates of the Supreme Lord. The Yadu dynasty is specifically described here as Vrishninam and Krishna Chaitasam. In other words, they were Lord Krishna's own men, and they were always absorbed in thinking of Krishna. Therefore, even if somehow or other the Brahmanas had cursed them, how could that curse have had any effect? These are the questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Although the Vrishnis are described in this verse as Krishna Chaitasam, always absorbed in thinking of Krishna, it is clearly indicated that Krishna desired that the Brahmanas become angry and curse the Yadu dynasty. The Supreme Lord desired to remove his personal dynasty from the earth, and therefore uncustomary, offensive behavior was exhibited by the young boys of Krishna's own family. It is to be understood from this incident that when a man displays envy and ridicule of devotees of Vishnu, his Brahmanyata, or high spiritual qualifications, along with his reverence for Sri Krishna, are all destroyed. Contempt and ridicule directed toward respectable persons and true Brahmanas vanquish all good qualities. If there is a break in etiquette towards his devotees, the Supreme Lord will become ill-disposed even to his own relatives and friends, and thus arranged to destroy those who oppose his devotees. If foolish persons in the guise of members of Krishna's personal family express enmity towards Vaishnavas, such offenders cannot properly be called offspring of Lord Krishna's dynasty. That is the supreme equality of the personality of Godhead. Translation: King Parikshit inquired, how could the Brahmanas curse the Vrishnis, who were always respectful to the Brahmanas, charitable and inclined to serve senior and exalted personalities, and whose minds were always fully absorbed in thought of Lord Krishna? So the Brahmanas cursed the Vrishnis, and the Vrishnis are associates of the Lord. We know that when the Lord appears, he appears with his associates. So in Vrindavan, he has the cowherd people, including Nanda and Yasoda. And in Dwarka, he has the whole Vrishni dynasty. It's also was described previously, the extent of the Vrishni dynasty with all of Krishna's wives and their children, and the other members of the family. So it was very, very extensive. All these constitute the associates of the Lord. They are not considered to be normal people with material bodies. They're very elevated devotees. How could they get cursed? Because they're faultless. Those who are associates of the Lord are like the Lord, so they don't have material faults. The Lord is beyond the material gunas, and one cannot criticize him for any fault at all. Similarly, his devotees are beyond the gunas, and we cannot criticize them also. So how is it possible that the Brahmanas could develop hatred for the members of Krishna's family and curse them? We would expect that Brahmanas of course, are very tolerant, and they don't expect respect for themselves, and very rarely do they curse anyone, unless the person is very, very evil or whatever. But here we find the members of Krishna's own family getting cursed by the brahmanas. So what kind of fault would they have? Or what kind of faulty brahmanas were they that could curse the members of Krishna's family? Either way, it looks very peculiar that this curse would result. How could it ever happen? So that is exemplified here when Parikshit enumerates the various qualities of the members of the Yadu dynasty. So the first word he used here is Brahmanya, which means they're respectful to the Brahmanas. So since they are respectful to the Brahmanas, how could the Brahmanas curse them? They never offend the Brahmanas in any way, rather they honor them. We see that respect is due to the Brahmanas in all cases, and we see that Krishna honors the Brahmanas and the members of the dynasty likewise. They serve the Brahminical community. This, of course, is a characteristic of the true Kshatriya, that they will give respect to the Brahmanas. And what to speak of Supreme Lord and his family. So Krishna also is called Brahmanya. He is respectful to the Brahmanas. So all the members of the family had similar inclination. They were respectful to the Brahmins. So how is it possible that the Brahmins could develop hatred of them and curse them? Doesn't look possible. So of course, this idea about respectful to Brahmanas is, we can say, part of the pastimes, and ultimately the Lord is most attractive to devotees. He's more attracted to devotees than he is to Brahmanas. And similarly, the devotees, they give the greatest respect to the devotees rather than the Brahmanas. So though the Brahmanas are respectable from the conventional point of view, it's the devotee who gets the most respect. He may not be a Brahmana at all, but he'll get the greatest respect because he is devotee of the Lord. So this idea of being respectful to the Brahmanas is a conventional type of characteristic of the Lord, in that he is following the conduct of a proper person in the Varnashram king system, especially the Kshatriya, and he gives honor to the Brahmanas. But as I said, ultimately it is the devotee who is the most attractive of all to the Supreme Lord and to the other devotees. The second word here is vadanya. They're very compassionate, or very merciful, or very charitable. Of course, the characteristic of a Kshatriya is that he is charitable. He likes to give. He likes to expand his fame by being very charitable to others. And we see examples of that, like King Nriga was trying to be charitable by giving cows to all the Brahmanas and whatever. So kings are well known to display this quality of generosity to others. And this is a good quality for the ruler. He should not be miserly or stingy. He should take care of the citizens very nicely. And particularly, the kings are charitable to the Brahmanas. They like to give to the Brahmanas especially because they're the most qualified persons in the Varnashram system. So we see that even Bali Maharaj was eager to give charity to Vamanadeva because he was a brahmachari and he should get some gift from the king. So he was trying to show his great generosity by offering something to Vamanadeva. So the kings had this tendency to give charity, and the Vrishnis were no exception. They were very, very charitable to everyone. They had no attachment to material wealth or anything, and they like to give and support the Varnashram system. So in other words, they displayed all the proper qualities of a person in the Varnashram system, particularly the Kshatriya. So there was no real reason for criticizing them or cursing them. And it's described here that they were Vrida Upasevanam. They served the elders. They were respectful to all the elders. They would never think of offending the elders. So this is another characteristic within the Varnashram system. One has to give proper respect to different persons. So of course children give respect to their parents. Everyone gives respect to the elders of the family. Everyone gives respect to the higher authority, like the king or whatever like that. So there are various levels of respect in society, and one of these is to respect the elders. So the Avrishnis were not proud. They were also respectful to the seniors. So they in no way offended the elderly persons. Again, we find later on the sages seem to get insulted, but how is it possible? Because the Vrishnis in general were not disrespectful at all to the elder persons, particularly great sages. Furthermore, it's described here the most important quality of all is Krishna Chetasam. They were always thinking of Krishna, which means they were great devotees. So because they were great devotees, they had no material faults. They had all wonderful qualities, and they had no fault that could be criticized by others at all. So how is it possible that the Brahmanas could even think of cursing them? So this is maybe the most important quality of all, that they were great devotees of Krishna. So we know that through bhakti, one becomes free of all faults and one develops all good qualities in relation to Krishna. It's a natural result of bhakti. So if one is a very high state of bhakti, that is bhava or prema, then all sorts of wonderful qualities in relation to the Lord will develop, because the devotee is concentrating on the Supreme Lord. So he will develop wonderful qualities. So the Rishnis were very great devotees because they had the privilege of personally associating with Krishna. So their position was very high. And consequently, that means their devotion was high, which means they were always thinking of Krishna. So because of that absorption in Krishna, they also developed all wonderful qualities like Krishna. So the example is given of the bug which is trapped by the wasp and stuck in a hole, and then the wasp seals up the hole and the bug is trapped in there. And the bug waits inside there, and he's always thinking in fear of that wasp that put him in the, sealed him up in the hole. And then finally, when the hole is broken open, because of thoughts of the wasp, that bug becomes a wasp and has wings and everything like a wasp. So by thinking of the wasp, it became a wasp. So by thinking of the Supreme Lord, the devotee develops similar qualities, similar form as the Supreme Lord. So the Vrishnis were Krishna Chaitasam, always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. So they must have developed all wonderful qualities like Krishna's qualities. And of course they had forms which are all spiritual forms as well. So they were perfect in every way. So just as Krishna displayed ideal qualities like Brahmanya and Vadanya and Vrida Upasevanam, so the Vrishnis also had very similar qualities because of concentration on the Lord.
So they could not be faulted at all. So then, how could the brahmanas curse them? How is it possible that there was nothing to, no fault in them that could be used for cursing? So highly, very difficult situation to explain. So this is Parikshit's question. How is it possible? We can also see that Parikshit himself was put in a very similar position, because he also was respectful to brahmanas, respectful to elders, charitable, but yet he also got cursed by the son of the brahmana. In his case, he committed what looked like a fault. He was thirsty, and the sage did not pay any attention to him, so he took a snake and put it around his neck. How is it possible that Parikshit could do that? How could he disrespect a brahmana? How could he be overcome by thirst and cause that disrespect? So we get a similar type of situation with Parikshit himself, where he got cursed. So he is asking that in relation to the whole Vrishni dynasty as well. How did they get cursed by the brahmanas? So the answer is very similar to the answer given for Parikshit getting cursed. There was no fault on the part of Parikshit, and there was no fault on the part of the Rishnis. So, therefore, how could it happen? Arrangement of the Supreme Lord. So that has previously been explained. The Lord was thinking how to disappear from this planet and how to also take the members of his own dynasty. How is it possible to do that? So then he started making some arrangement. So this is the particular arrangement of the Lord, the brahmanas cursing the Vrishnis. And then consequently, because of that curse, then they began to fight with each other and destroy each other. So this is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord for a particular purpose. So we cannot find fault with the Vrishnis, and we cannot find fault with the brahmanas for cursing them. Both are absolved of any fault, because all of this was an incident arranged by the Supreme Lord for his pastime of disappearance. So, therefore, the Vrishnis remain faultless in all cases, and even the brahmanas who happen to curse them, they're also faultless. Everything is arrangement of the Supreme Lord for this particular pastime. In this way, the Vrishni dynasty remains pure, not subject to any sort of fault. The spiritual status of the Vrishni dynasty remains intact and is in no way contaminated by material energy. The materialist, on the other hand, will attribute material qualities to the members of the Vrishni dynasty. Show this as a cause for getting cursed by the brahmanas. Even so, how can a curse affect the devotee of the Lord? Even the curse of a brahmana, how can it affect the devotee? The Supreme Lord is always protecting his devotees from everything. So what use is a curse? What power does a curse have in face of the Supreme Lord's protection? And the answer is nothing. So technically, any curse of anyone cannot have any effect upon the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Yet, this curse took place, and as a result of the curse, so many things happened. So this we attribute only to not the power of the curse, but to the arrangement of Krishna. Because of him, the curse was able to have some apparent effect and cause problems for the members of the Yadu dynasty. But technically, the curses of this material world cannot affect the devotees as they cannot affect the Supreme Lord. They're all beyond all of this. So in this way, the Vrishnis remain faultless beyond the arrangement of this curse.
Today, if such an incident may happen, sometimes we think that it was a loss arrangement. Where do we draw the line? Can we think the Lord arrangements only for the extreme cases, particular cases, and for all others, it's all
well,
their own mistakes?
Well, we say that these arrangements are special arrangements in which it looks like there is some fault involved, but actually there is no fault. Similarly, if Brahma tries to bewilder Krishna, there's also said to be arrangement of the Supreme Lord for his pastimes. So these are exceptional cases involving the Supreme Lord and his close associates. For devotees doing sadhana, we cannot put ourselves in that same position of claiming that we're also on that same level as great devotees of the Lord. Therefore, we're only involved in the Lord's pastimes and not subject to faults of this material world. Definitely, even the devotees doing sadhana are protected by the Supreme Lord, and they also become faultless. But in the process of sadhana, of course, we do have anartas and many other things, problems. So we cannot attribute all the problems and faults or whatever to arrangement of the Supreme Lord. We have to be realistic and understand that the person doing sadhana is gradually destroying his anartas and his karmas and his desires, etc. And in that process, periodically, faults may show, material faults may show. So this is not arrangement of the Supreme Lord. This is simply the Jiva's own position within this material world, all of his faults have not yet been completely removed. So this is a different case than the incident here with the Vrishnis and the curse. Quite different.
Also, when devotees play pranks or joke with other devotees, and if the other devotees are affected, how to understand? Because in day-to-day affairs, some devotees make, like this same Samba, they dressed him as a pregnant woman, and amongst devotees, they have some jokes and jovials. What about the other devotee gets affected?
Yeah, well, we have to always be careful that we don't disturb other personalities. Now, jokes, of course, are meant for fun, but some people may not take it in that way. So we have to be very careful in the case of the youngsters of the Rishnis. They were also once as joking, but there's a place for that to take place, and apparently it was not in front of the senior sages. They should not have done that. So therefore there was, we can say, it looks like a fault there. Of course we could say even the youngsters of the Rishni dynasty were not at fault technically. It was all arrangement of the Supreme Lord. But this happened, and they had acted improperly by doing so, and therefore the sages got angry and they cursed the dynasty because of that. So again, here in this case, it's arrangement of the Supreme Lord. In the case of normal devotees, of course, then we do have to be careful in dealing with other devotees, that we, to the best of our ability, try not to offend them in any way. The curse looks very severe, punishing the whole Yadu dynasty for some mistake made by some children or whatever like that. Again, you can say this is just the pretext. It's a pretext for disappearance of the Yadu dynasty, that's all. So the arrangement of the Supreme Lord only.
And Maharaj, yesterday you were explaining that the disappearance of the Lord, he does not have material body, so it is only the Virat Rupa which is material and it was left. But how do we see in the case of these Yadus, because they were also having spiritual bodies and they were also killed, and it seems there was some cremation also actually after that.
Yeah, so like the Lord, the devotees have spiritual bodies, so if they leave a body that looks like it was killed again, that's not their spiritual body, obviously. It's just an illusion or whatever created by the Supreme Lord to give the appearance of being normal persons in this world, that's all. So, as well as Krishna, then we can say all the Yadus themselves and all their particular bodies that they left were not, we can say were appearances only. It's also described that actually the Vrishnis returned to Dwarka in their spiritual bodies, but nobody saw that. So what was left was some material remnants there, which others considered to be dead bodies, but actually they were in their spiritual bodies and they returned to Dwarka separately.
You must see that such instances which the devotees accept as the arrangement of the Lord. But in the general population, we see there are so many jivas who are neither atheist nor theist. They are in a neutral position. It doesn't give them a good faith because of these sorts of explanations in the scriptures. These souls, they cannot be saved ultimately because of this arrangement. How do you feel?
Well, the Bhagavatam has got two faces. One is for the devotees, those who have faith, they can appreciate. And for those who don't have faith, then they can get some other interpretation, a material interpretation. So that is the nature of scripture in general. Only those who are qualified can actually get the proper meaning of it. In the case of Krishna, of course, it's a little more difficult for people to appreciate his form because he seems to act in a more material way or whatever than the other forms of the Lord. Nevertheless, if we have faith and devotion when we read the Bhagavatam, then we will understand the real meaning. So it is obviously later on when Krishna does disappear, it's distinctly described how a chariot came down and then the Lord got on that chariot and he went away, and therefore the whole body that was left was illusory. It surely explains that. So if one is sincere in hearing or reading the Bhagavatam, then one will get the actual truth. It's not so hidden for the people who are sincerely seeking. For those who only want to find material pastimes or whatever, then they get some opportunity and they will ignore everything else. So that shows their insincerity. So to appreciate Bhagavatam, one has to have a little seriousness and some faith, and then one can access it.
Jalandhara Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sarva Sant Swami Maharaj ki.